This. This week I enjoyed a mini vacation. My family went with friends of ours up to Big Bear. And that's normally not the first place I look for rest and relaxation. It's going to the snow, but it was really a wonderful time. Actually, the weather cooperated. You know, there's been storms going on, and the days we were up there was warm and sunny. Could be out on the slopes without a jacket, which I liked. And I learned how to snowboard, believe it or not. I'm paying the price for it. I'm one big bruise. But it was my wife and I joined with my daughter and her friend, and it was a lot of fun. So I just can't bend down very well. When I got home on Friday, I turned on the computer, and, you know, I like to watch the message from Bethel Chapel. And Bill Johnson brought a word on the orphan spirit. And I listened to that, and it just hit my heart that that's something we need to hear today here. This is not something new. I know we've brought words on this. I know that everyone in this room can think of a lot of scriptures about God talking about who we are to him and who he is to us, and our head is filled with all the right information. I believe on a heart level, we don't know it like we need to. And I think this orphan spirit is a major cause of problems that we have in the church. It certainly is a major cause of the problems we see in the world today. All this, the people on this planet belong to our Heavenly Father. He created everyone in his image. There's just not that knowing of it. And when we don't know our oneness with our Father, in that knowing, there's a special identity that God creates and reveals. When we don't have that, then the human ego goes about to create identity. And of course, that's where all the problems come from. Not knowing that we belong to God. You look at the world today, the things like competition, jealousy, ambition, all the things that just drive people apart, become hurtful, destructive, self-destructive. Where does all of that come from? People don't know they have a Father. They don't know that they have a Heavenly Father that they belong to. And as long as that knowledge is blocked, the devil will just run rampant, creating lies and just feeding people just all the illusions of their separation, they're all alone. This needs to be broken. It is a lie because Jesus Christ went to the cross, paid the price. We are reconciled to God. The whole world is reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. This is the truth that must be experienced on the heart level. And once it is, the devil can come and say anything he wants. There is no opening for him to get in. Our identity does not come about our doing. And I think we're just as plagued with this in the church. People come to church, what? Why? They want to find that identity. They want to find who they are. Who you are can only come by hearing the Father speak to your heart. It doesn't come about because you join a church and you like the doctrine. You get into you have all these teachings and you find your ministry, your place. I don't care if you operate in all the top five ministries, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, all of them, pastor. You can move in all the gifts of the Spirit. All the right doing will not give you the sense of identity that comes from the Father's heart. That's why cults are so prevalent. Why do people get sucked into cults? You think intelligent people get sucked into groups where they're controlled and pushed in just bizarre directions. Because people crave inside that sense of well-being, of knowing who they are. They crave identity that can only come from the Father's touch and speaking to our hearts. And I think right now as I'm speaking this word, I just feel in my heart just declaring it prophetically. That this barrier is removed. It's what's holding us back. We don't need some church strategy here. We just need this barrier blasted out of the way. When we know that we are not orphans, that's the end of the lie of isolation. When we know we are the Father's family, in that knowing is purpose, identity, and well-being. And that's what God has for us. Turn with me to the book of John. Yes, it is recording. John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit and receiving the Spirit of truth. And he's talking about after he's going to leave. And in verse 18, he makes a statement. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You know, being an orphan to me is kind of like looking at this, the kingdom of God, as this great wedding feast. And if you really believe the lie of being an orphan, you kind of feel like you've crashed the party. You're there. You know, yeah, this is where God is. I'm here. And as long as I behave right, don't make any mistakes, I can stay. But as soon as I do something that makes me feel I'm unworthy, I'm out the door. A lot of believers live with this hanging over their head. And that's that orphan spirit. We're a part of the wedding feast with the Lamb. We're a part of the kingdom of God, not because we are worthy or anything we do. It's God's great love for us. He has placed us in his kingdom. This is why it's so important that we know we are sons and daughters and children that belong to him. Because without this, the enemy is able to continue to lie to us. The kingdom of God, we know, is relationships, right? It's the Father's kingdom. And as soon as we get away from this relationship with the Father, you know what happens? We're not in kingdom anymore. You know, kingdoms in the world operate differently. You could find a kingdom somewhere, and there's a king or queen over it. And as long as you find out what the rules are, and follow the rules, you can be a part of it. That's not the way God's kingdom works. It's not a bunch of rules to follow. It's a heavenly Father that we are one with, the Lord that we are one with. So if we lose sight of that relationship, if we buy into this that we're orphans, we don't really belong, we lose our awareness of what the kingdom of God is all about. That's why it's so important that this breakthrough happened for the body of Christ right now. Now, why is Jesus telling the disciples this? Jesus knew the Father. Everything he said and everything he did was revealing the Father. The disciples were in this atmosphere for 3.5 years. But obviously, he said, I'll not leave you as orphans, because that spirit was still on them. They still didn't know their oneness with the Father. Jesus knew it. But just being around Jesus didn't create that identity for them. So Jesus knew that when he left, that they would feel like orphans. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. What was his answer to that? I will come to you. How did he come to them? In the Holy Spirit. We have received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in our life means a lot of things. You think, well, yeah, it opens up the Word to me. It gives me revelation of the Scriptures. It provides the gifts of the Spirit, right? The healings, the power of God. We can list so many wonderful attributes of the Holy Spirit. But one we often miss is the Holy Spirit is the healing of that orphan spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us into the reality of our oneness with our Heavenly Father. And what Jesus was telling the disciples is, hey guys, pretty soon here, something's going to happen that you're not going to be able to handle. I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to rise up after the third day. I've told you these things. You're not ready for them. You're not prepared for them. When all this is going on, you're going to feel isolated. Didn't they feel isolated after he went to the cross? You're going to feel like orphans, like you don't belong. But I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to you. And when my Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you're going to know the oneness with your Father that I have with my Heavenly Father. He said in verse 20, "In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." So important. Judges chapter 6, story of Gideon. Judges chapter 6 and 7, actually. I'm just going to look at one verse there. You know the story? Israel is being oppressed by the Midianites. Those pesky Midianites, they're always being oppressed by someone in the books of Judges. They're falling away from the presence of the Lord and the Word of God, and they went into bondage. And God comes to deliver them through Gideon, and everybody knows what happened. Gideon, with the army of thousands, pared down to 300. God works a tremendous victory. Two things are happening here. And our faith operates on two levels. On one level, our faith is related to the problems we face and what God has to say about them. And we're believing God that His Word is going to be victorious over situations in our life, right? Everybody can relate to that. The second area, though, and more importantly, is our faith is linked to who God is. And again, this deals with that orphan spirit, knowing that we are one with our Heavenly Father. It's personal. We belong. When Gideon is met by the angel, do you remember what the angel said? "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Verse 12, chapter 6. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about coming out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" And he said to them, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? My family is the least, and I am the youngest," and on and on. What's happening here? Before Gideon goes and fights any battle, identity is being established. Now, Gideon's perspective of himself, I think, is rather accurate, and he's rather humble. He's looking at God and saying, "Hey, listen, who am I to do this thing? You know, the tribe I belong to, my father's household, the people I belong to, we're nothing great, and I'm nothing great." He sees himself one way. He has an identity that he is created by his own ego. It's been created by his ego. God looks at that same person and sees a valiant warrior. Where did that come from? Not from Gideon's history. Gideon's looking at the facts of his life and saying, given by assessing my life so far, my successes, my failures, I would say I'm not the man for this job. You know, I'm nothing special. God looks and says, "You're a valiant warrior. Go in your strength. I've sent you." You see, that identity only can come from the Heavenly Father. When that orphan spirit is healed, that lie of separation and isolation, we see ourselves another way. This is not trying to just read the words and build, kind of boost ourselves up. I've seen Christians do that. I got to get real positive here. I'm mighty, I'm this, I'm that. And they rehearse all these verses. This is a revelation from the Father of who we are, what our spiritual DNA is all about. You don't strive into it. In fact, all the striving in our life is based on the lack of spiritual identity. All our striving, trying to convince ourselves of things and trying to just work hard for God and all these things that people look at and say, "Wow, isn't that person dedicated? Look at their zeal." Often, that's all based on the ego and the insecurities of the ego. It's based on that orphan spirit driving us, trying to make ourselves worthy. When we have that revelation of the Father, of our oneness with Him, we're at rest. Striving ends. You don't have to convince yourself of anything. You look at yourself through your father's eyes, and you see a valiant warrior, and you say, well, there's nothing in my history to justify that. God's not looking at your human history. You have a spiritual history, a spiritual name, a spiritual identity that comes from the Father that's not based on how you've lived your life in the natural. Don't we hunger for that? Where does that come from? Wishful thinking, memorizing scriptures? No, hearing the voice of our Father. He makes that real to us. So you would think in reading this that first Gideon would go out, do this great battle. God works a miracle, destroys the Midianites. And then Gideon comes back and says, yeah, now I'm starting to see my spiritual identity here. I'm starting to see who I am. No, it's the reverse. God first meets him and says, Gideon, what you're looking at when you look in the mirror is not what I see. Here's the issue first. You're going to see yourself as a valiant warrior because that's who you are in me. Once you have identity, then you can face any battle and see my victory run, won. We're looking around. This world's in a mess. Our lives are in a mess, depending on how honest we want to be about it. Got to have faith. Got to see the promises of God happen. Once all these things start happening, maybe I'll believe in God's love more. You got it turned around. First, we need the meeting with the Father to know his love, to know the identity, the special, unique identity we have in him. Once that happens, then that power is turned loose into every other situation. This world can't remain the same when God's children know who they are. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:15. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. What does that sound like? The orphan mentality, isn't it? The orphan is a slave to his own ego, his or her ego, always trying to prove something, trying to make themselves worthy. You have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear. It's filled with fear. What Paul is saying here is the spirit we have is not this orphan spirit. That's not from God. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of slavery. The Holy Spirit is not about fear. But what we've received is a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit in you is that reality that causes you to cry out, Papa, Daddy, Abba, Father. Not the God that's far off somewhere that's a judge, but your dad, your father who loves you. The Holy Spirit is what makes this personal. It's what takes the Father in heaven and makes it our Father which art in heaven. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, this is what the Spirit's all about. We just have to ask, I think, and say, Holy Spirit, you've been in me. You want to create in my awareness that the oneness I have with the Father. Do it. Who are the sons and daughters of God, those that are led by the Spirit? What do we want to be led into? I want more than just being each day led from point A to point B. I want to be led into this reality that I am one with my Father. Like Jesus, when he was baptized in water, hearing that voice, before he went to the wilderness to be tested by the devil, before he worked even one miracle, his identity was established. God said, you're my son, I love you, I approve of you. In other words, God was saying, you're one with me. You're not an orphan. He needed that before he did anything. We need that same reality. And going on in this later in this chapter, I'm just going to look at one other verse here. Actually, we could go through the rest of this chapter, but maybe another time. Verse 20 says, for creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will also be set free from slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Okay, all of creation is in this groaning. Verse 19, the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Everybody's looking at when will the end come? And I don't mean end the planet being destroyed. I don't believe that personally. To me, the end is everything being restored the way God wants it. It's a good ending. This book ends well. When will that happen? People say, well, we just got to save more people. Well, how many people need to be saved before this happens? We just need more miracles. Well, how many miracles do we need? What it's saying here to me is all of creation will be restored when the children of God wake up to who they are.
Amen.
Right? Revealing of the sons of God. When the children of God wake up that they are not orphans, that they are one with their heavenly Father, that they belong. That same oneness that Jesus had, in that awakening, creation is released.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to finish one last verse here in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker or fashioner, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you are making say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Yet we do this with God, don't we? We quarrel with our maker, or another way, fashioner. You know, to be one with God, it doesn't mean you're just standing there saying, oh, it feels so good, God loves me. That's true. At the same time, he's loving you, he's fashioning you, changing you, forming you. He's making you into something. That's what destiny's all about. With an orphan spirit, we react to this fashioning in a negative way. We quarrel with God. We question God. We disagree with what he's doing in our life. When this orphan spirit is broken, and we're in that state of rest and oneness with him, we allow him to form the clay of our life any way he wants. Like it says here, woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? And it's kind of hit me, a kind of a conviction, you know, just it must break God's heart. When we look to him and we're wrestling and resisting him, he's looking down and saying, I'm making such a beautiful thing here, but we can't see it. And that orphan mentality is very resistant to the Spirit of God. It's based on fear. It's based on lies. So it reacts to love, and it feels threatened. But once that's broken and we realize our oneness with the Father, we're still clay, but those hands that are forming us no longer are threatening to us. We can just feel the love in those hands, even when we're being formed in ways that our mind would not go. The love of God is a greater reality than our own reasoning and thinking. This is the hour that this breakthrough happens for the people of God. That instead of turning to religion to heal the hole that is inside, and religion can never heal it, in this hour, the people of the Lord turn and return to the Lord and turn to their heavenly Father. And in turning to their Father, our Father has been pursuing us all along. The problem hasn't been that he hasn't been looking for us. We just haven't been looking for him. But in this searching for the reality of who our Father is, connection is being made. The orphan spirit is being judged. It's being broken. And the awareness and the revelation of our oneness with the Father, his delight in us, his love for us, the true identity we have in our being in him, all of that comes alive in this hour for the people of the Lord. And as we wake up as the sons and daughters of God, we're waking up by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what creation has been waiting for. The spirit of futility is broken off this planet. we loose it, Lord.